Now, one of the things that sometimes I think God has me on this mission of talking about this aspect of Christianity, that is, it's a supernatural relationship with Jesus, and it's a supernatural move of God that we are into. And we cannot recognize it with this natural mind. We won't be able to discern correctly with our natural mind the things of the Spirit. And we're told that in 1 Corinthians. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we're not going to be able to understand the things of the Spirit with our natural mind. We are going to have to somehow, in some times, in some cases, in some ways, careful at saying this because I don't want to sound that we're to shut this mind off completely, but in some ways we have to be able to bypass our mind in order to be able to understand spiritual things. They're not going to always make sense to our minds. And if we were going to look back again at the day of Pentecost, when the people there were filled with the Holy Spirit, some of the other people thought that they were drunk because they couldn't understand what was taking place. Their natural mind wasn't able to get around the fact that here these people, they were walking around and it seemed like they were drunk and they were speaking in all kinds of different languages. They didn't understand what was happening. And the only way Peter made sense to it was that he went and quoted Joel. From the Old Testament, he said, these people are not drunk as you suppose, but they are being filled with the Spirit. And then he quoted the scriptures in Joel about in the last days, my Spirit would be poured out in all flesh, my sons and daughters would prophesy, and so forth. And so he used that to make sense of what was happening. And we have to be careful to do that. Whenever we receive in the Spirit or from the Spirit, we always have to be able to go to the Word of God to be able to make sense of it. And we will be able to make sense of it if it's God. If it's not God, it might be just, you know, something of the flesh or of the devil or whatever, and we won't be able to cause it to line up with the Word of God. But we always need to line things up with the word of the Lord, and to be able to run it by Scripture in order to validate it. Now notice that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. That word natural, that's a Greek word, and I'm not trying to pronounce that, but it also means sensual. And it means the principle of animal life. In other words, it's the natural side of living. It's what we use every day when we get up, and the things that we enjoy, and the things that we experience many times with our flesh. We're not the natural man. The natural side of it does not receive the things of the Spirit, because the things of the Spirit are spirit. They're not natural. We have been created by God from the very, very beginning to function out of our spirit being. Because when God created man, he breathed in him the breath of life, and he would communicate with God in the Spirit or by the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. You'll remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, it said that they didn't realize that they were naked until after they sinned. Well, that tells me that they were more spiritually aware than they were naturally aware. And this was the way that man was originally designed to function. He was designed to function being more spiritually aware, or to live out of our spirit man, because that's where God lives. And long as we did that, and long as man did that, we were in constant communication with God. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they had fellowship with God because they were in there. They were functioning in that realm of the Spirit that is all around us, but we just don't see it. In fact, the spirit realm that is around us is more real than these chairs that we're sitting on and this building that we're in. The Bible says that, you know, this whole world is going to pass away one day. The spirit realm is not going to. It is more real than what we see and touch and feel. And God made us real. So the natural man at the fall of man became the dominant influence. The natural side of man. And this is why Jesus went to the cross in order to redeem us, so we could get back to the place where we could connect with God again, God could live on the inside of us again, and that we could have communion with him again. But it's a choice. Now we have been trained, this body has been trained to function in the natural from the time we were very young. Now once we enter into the kingdom of God, we're born again, we have to be retrained so that we can function out of our spirit being. And a lot of that, most of that, is reading the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, living by the Word of God. Because this book is a spiritual book. And we can live out of our spirits by obeying the word. But also God speaks to us. God talks to us, and we pay attention to the inner man that has been born again by the Spirit of God. And as we listen, God will direct us and guide us in everyday life as well. Now, in the end times, when there's all kinds of doctrines that the Bible tells us that it's going to get really confusing. The Bible says that there'll be people teaching doctrines of devils in the end time for their own advantage. Jude actually refers to using this word in this particular scripture, where he's talking about in the end times how people will be lovers of themselves and so forth. He said, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own lust, own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." Now that word there, sensual, is the same word that we talked about before that is used in 1 Corinthians, where we talked about the natural man. These people are not going to be able to understand the things of the Spirit. It's going to be very difficult for them. And we have lots of people in the church today who don't seem to understand spiritual things. In the body of Christ, they don't seem to understand that the Holy Spirit is still moving in His church today. The gifts of the Spirit are very much alive in the church today, and He's given them for us to function today, to work with and to help us in everything that we do. But the natural man pushes all that aside and doesn't work at cultivating the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in our lives. He'll just try to do. I found in my life in ministry, the greatest success that I've ever had was basically waiting on God and letting Him tell me what to do. And then when I do it, I'm amazed at sometimes at the results, rather than just go ahead and wear myself out trying to do it. I used to do a lot of things that just, it seemed like an awful lot of work with very little results. You do that long enough, you get pretty tired of it. And after a while you say, "Holy Spirit, I'm just gonna be patient enough to wait. And if you say move, I'll move. But unless you tell me to do something, unless you tell me to move, I'm just gonna sit back and wait and worship you." You know, that's a totally different concept of what the world presents and most of the church world, because, you know, you got to go out and do it ourselves. For a number of months now, I've been speaking on the whole concept of the body of Christ coming together and walking in unity, and that the Lord wants us to bring us into a place of oneness. And I was very careful to say that, you know, that while that includes caring about one another, spending time with one another so that we get to know one another, and treating each other with honor and so forth, while that includes all that, those things don't cause unity to take place. It is the Holy Spirit that causes unity to take place. We can't make it happen. We can do things to inhibit it, but we can't make it happen. It's only the Holy Spirit that really pours out His grace to be able to make that happen. And even in families, unity can only come by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we can say that we can treat each other and learn all the nice, polite things to do and say thank you and please and would you mind and all that kind of stuff. We can practice that till the cows come home and still not have unity if the Holy Spirit doesn't move. It's the Holy Spirit that brings unity in our homes, in our churches, in everything that we do. And we have to count on Him. That's part of faith. Never forget that we practice our faith by believing that the Holy Spirit is actually going to do something. He's actually going to get involved. But these things are not understood in the natural realm. We have to be willing sometimes to go past the natural realm, or the mind, and what we think with our mind. Now, let's get back a little bit now and talk about speaking in tongues. Recognize that there are certain aspects of speaking in tongues that are different. And I said that we were going to talk about that tonight, so we want to spend at least some time talking about that area of speaking in other tongues. Last week, I've said that I don't believe that there was really anything in my life that has been more significant for me in my prayer life than daily praying in other tongues and releasing my spirit, what would God put in my spirit through praying in other tongues. But let's look at the Holy Spirit says about speaking in other tongues. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." All the gifts of the Spirit, Paul prefaces every gift of the Holy Spirit with this exhortation that everything must be done in love. Anything outside love is not acting in God. Faith works by love. And so if we're not working in love, our faith won't work, because faith works by love. So anything that we do, we have to always remember that love must be the motivating factor behind what we're doing. Love has to come first. And so when it comes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit now, if we are going to offend somebody by a gift of the Spirit, we have to really stop and think, are we acting in love? Are we acting in love? Just for an example, if we were here tonight and somebody was here and they were doing something very, very wrong, let's just say, I don't know, this is easy to work with. So let's say there was somebody here who was really had a bad problem with pornography, was an addict really. And that was revealed. Let's say I'm ministering here and it was revealed to me. Now, if I pointed that person out and say, God shows me that you're a porn addict and you need to repent of that. Now, you have to consider with everybody here tonight, do you think that would be acting in love? Do you think I'd have that person's best interest at heart? I don't think so. I think that would be, you know, unnecessary embarrassment. There's no reason for that to take place. There's no reason for that. Maybe later on I could take that individual aside and take them privately and say, you know, just as I was ministering tonight, I just sensed this, you know, is this something you're dealing with? Can I pray for you and help you that way? And that's considering the person rather than just blurting something out. We always have to remember that, is it love? Are we going to embarrass people, for instance, when we say some things? Like that when it comes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So sometimes, you know, it may even be that way with praying in other tongues. Now, love has to be the motivating factor. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, Paul talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit here, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Notice here, Paul talks about different kinds of tongues. So we'll get into that in a minute about the whole aspect that there are different kinds of tongues. He mentions it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, he mentions God has appointed now these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and variety of tongues, or different kinds of tongues again. Now, I want you to notice about this scripture here. It says God has appointed these. And notice where he's appointed them, in the church. Now, this is talking about a gift that is to be operated in the church. And now, when we talk about tongues, we must talk about different functions of tongues and the different spheres or environments that we operate them in. One way, one area of speaking in tongues is with tongues and interpretation that is to be given within the context of the body of Christ. Now, you need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to really see how this all comes together. You have to study that passage, because when Paul is giving the direction there, he is talking at some point, he's talking about our prayer language that we can use any time as a private prayer language or worship to God that is not necessarily to be used within the context of the body of Christ or the church. And at other times, he's talking about, like this scripture, he's talking about a tongues that is used within the body of Christ or within the church. And so Paul talks in Corinthians, he talks about how important it is to excel in gifts that build the body up. You know that in scripture, Paul says that prophecy is for instruction and edification. It is to be given, of course, within the context of the body of Christ. In other words, we speak things that will build up the church. Now, when it comes to tongues and interpretation, the Bible says that that's equal to prophecy. So we can give that within the context of the body of Christ, where we speak in tongues and then interpret a prophetic word that will build the body of Christ up. And so that's the kind of the type of tongues that happens when we're in the body. Some of the scripture that you will read in 1 Corinthians 14, you will see where Paul says, and sometimes I would rather that you prophesied as opposed to speaking in tongues. What he's talking about there is within the context of the church. He would rather that you would prophesy so people could hear and understand what is being said, so you could be built up. Other times, he's talking about praying in other tongues, where it's just a prayer, simply a prayer language. And he's saying, you don't need to come to church and do that all the time without an interpreter, because you're not going to learn anything.